Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 177 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 279. If you'd like copies of a CD or a tape copy, or you like a Bible and you can't afford one, or a Messiah book that tells the 333 prophecies of the Messiah, okay, from the Old Testament. This is a good witnessing tool to witness to the Jews. I believe it's the best witnessing tool because what it does is condenses the Old Testament and puts it in a plain language to where people can understand it, the Jew can understand it. And then also I have hundreds of pieces of literature that I've written and thousands of tapes. We have a radio program that is on the air off at least 7 days a week. Could be 8 days, right? No. We also have today, and you can order them. They're all free of charge. Postage and handling is taken care of by us as well. Of course, the Lord commands you to give tithes and offerings. If the Lord is feeding you through this program, He would love it very much for you to not rob Him, but He would love it for you to give tithes and offerings to the church, to us, because we're the ones that are feeding people the truth. There's so many different programs today that I listen to, and I can't stand them because they preach a false gospel, a gospel that is different than the one that Jesus and the disciples preached. And the Apostle Paul stated that if anyone preaches any other gospel than that which we have preached, he said, they are accursed. They are accursed. He says it twice. All right, so you can help get this gospel around the world. If there's a radio station or a newspaper that you'd like us to print my literature in, you can sponsor it simply by say, well, I'll pay for this radio station or I'll pay for this newspaper. I'll take that burden off of your church, and you can be the one that's going to be helping to win all the souls in your town, or the ones that the Lord is going to win. Not everybody is going to receive the gospel. The Lord said that to all the goody-two-shoes out there, He says He invites them to do what He wants them to do. He invites them to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the marriage supper of the Lamb, the invitation is that if you do what the Lord says, then you'll be able to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. But people in the world, the 14th chapter of the book of Luke states that they get so busy with business and all sorts of other things, and they spend a lot of time daydreaming of things that they want to be but are not. And it's a sin. God hates those kind of people. You can read it in the 6th chapter of the book of Proverbs, the 7 things that the Lord hates. He despises liars. Yeah, He despises people that just dream up things that are not true, or that dream up what their version of the Bible is, and it's not really true at all. But the Lord loves those that love His Word. And those that are invited, that are supposed to be Christians, they don't do anything that the Lord says. So the Lord, in the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, tells of these people that are being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He invites everybody. But people are too busy to do the things that the Lord tells us to do in order to qualify entering the kingdom of heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem. I'm too busy, I got a brand new car and I want to check it out on the freeway. I just got married and I have to spend more attention to my wife than you. when the Lord says anyone that puts father, mother, sister, wife, brother, and I'm sure husband, it's for sure husband, or anything, or anybody before me is not worthy of me. And so people say, well, you know, that's old time talk. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's the way he is. Or anybody that shrugs their duty, they make up some excuse, well, I've got a cold, or I didn't get enough sleep last night. Well, that's your own fault. And there's sometimes, you know, you might run into a circumstance where you didn't get enough sleep. But still, if the Lord commands you, I know many times when I've just been dead tired, the Lord said, get up and write. And then I'd say, Lord, I've been railroaded into this prison, as you know, on false charges. And people can look on my website to see how it was done. The prosecutor hid a bunch of books and records and stated in the courtroom that I hid them. And then it was found out that they hid them. And if that had been told to the jury, I would have never gone to prison for a 6-year sentence, which I served 4 years of it, 4 years in the prison and a half year in the halfway house. And then when we presented these facts to the judge, McCalla in Memphis, Tennessee, he didn't care at all about it. And this is something that, you know, a lot of people would get angry at, and they might get bitterness in their soul, but I never got that. I'm still serving the Lord, and I don't blame the Lord for what the devil's doing. Or I don't blame the Lord if I got any punishment whatsoever. I wouldn't blame the Lord for what I did. The Lord has his laws, his rules, his regulations, and if people don't keep them, don't be, crying at the judgment bar of God when you see your soul going out into the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Because the Bible is the mirror, the looking glass that you have to look in to see if you're shaping up. And if you know you're a liar, and if you know you bring false accusations against people, and if you know you just make up stories and say that you're doing things and think that you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven by vacuuming the house and washing the dishes and all these things with an outward show of piety, it won't make any difference, because if you're a liar, you're a false accuser, you don't love the Word of God enough to keep it, but you busy yourself doing something else other than what the Lord commands you to do, that means whatever you're putting before the Lord is your God. So the God of liars, if you're a liar, well, then you're worshiping Satan, because Satan is the father of all liars. Amen?
Amen.
He is the liar and the father of it, of every liar. And so what you're doing, if you're a liar, is you're worshiping Satan. And there's no other way to cut it, all right? But right now, as I said, we have some testimonials, and then we're going to be reading from the Bible. And we've got some music. Jack Holcomb is one of my very favorite gospel singers. Now, you know, some people will say, well, man, you know, I don't, it's just, he's got an organ there and a piano and that. I like something with drums and a beat and everything, but I like it him because you can tell he knows the Lord. He feels the gospel. He feels the Word of God. He knows, he sings in the Spirit. And I'd rather hear that than some, you know, than some drummer, some famous drummer, even Gene Krupa or somebody like that, or somebody today. Or horns or things like that. Listen, if you're going to get down to brass tacks with the Lord, you're not going to get into gospel rap. I mean, this is so blasphemous to me. It's just unbelievable. It is like getting close to blasphemy, let's put it that way. It's like the Lord is saying, would you play rap in front of the Lord when you're standing in front of him at the judgment bar of God? No, you're going to want to hear somebody like Jack Holcomb or somebody that when they're singing, that they sing with a sincere heart. Okay? Like I do, for instance. All right? But we're going to hear a couple of tunes today from Jack Holcomb. Oh, one of them is Anywhere with Jesus. Is a safe place for me. And then if you've got problems, if you're sick, you're afflicted, he tells it in the other song, tell it to Jesus. Amen. Don't just sit there sick. Or if you see one of your friends or enemies that's sick, don't just sit there and watch them be sick. Pray for them. Amen?
Amen.
That the Lord will heal them, because the Lord is powerful and he can do all that. But right now, let's go to the throne of the living God and ask him to anoint this service. Father, anoint this service with your Holy Spirit. Let it be your service, Lord, and not ours. When we approach the throne, your throne, Lord, we must come before you humble and humble ourselves. Because you're God, and all we are is your people. We're sons of the Most High God, and you are so loving and humble that you gave your only begotten Son, which is the Word of God, and allowed him to be beaten so that we could be healed, and allowed him to be treated worse than anybody, and to die on the cross with you in him. And that you allowed him to be thrashed into nail-pierced hands and feet. It's horrible. And be pierced in the side. And that he was buried, went to hell. Some people don't read the Bible well. They never study it to know what it says. He went to hell for us, and you went to hell for us, Father Jesus. But you conquered hell. You're the only one that could raise out of hell and out of death, hell, and the grave. And you're the only one that can raise everybody else from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the just can be judged and enter into heaven, and the unjust can be judged and sent into hell in the burning lake of fire. Lord, open up people's minds, their stubborn minds, their busy minds. Satan has so many distractions in this world today that people just don't seem to have any time for the most important thing in the entire universe, and that's their soul. That's the only thing they possess, and Lord, we can choose where we're going to spend eternity. If we spend and we busy ourselves with nonsense in this world, and we favor somebody or anything above you, then we're not worthy to enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, Father, I pray that you'll slow people down so that things can be sped up in their life. If we slow down and pay attention to your words and make that the most important thing rather than washing the dishes and ironing and up the stairs and down the stairs and busy, 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 all the things, or driving somewhere or attending birthday parties or any other kind of party. And, getting involved in all forms of entertainment, because this also is like a drug to prevent people from looking at things in a realistic manner. No matter how many basketball, football, baseball games people watch or programs, Lord, you're coming back to earth again real soon, and they're going to face you. And so I pray that you'll make this point clear to them in this message, and that they'll receive you, that these lost people will be saved, and that the church, who has fallen away from you, many of them, and that they'll receive you, and that you'll bless those that are steadfast in you, Lord, so that the entire church will be strengthened, and that the souls, the lost out in the world, will be saved, and the lukewarm will be brought close to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now here's Jack Holcomb to sing, and this is very important. You should follow the words of this song, Anywhere with Jesus. You never have to be afraid if Jesus is with you. That means the Word of God. And so that means you should study, you must study, and you must pray. So Jack Holcomb, here he is, Anywhere with Jesus. Anywhere.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. When the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken nevermore to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet. Anywhere, here I cannot go. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Now, the world is so full of fearful people. Terrorism has just frightened people into oblivion. They are so afraid. But anywhere with Jesus, you can safely go. And when I know that the Lord is with me, whenever he tells me to go someplace in the world, I can safely go there. I know there is no harm that will come unto me whatsoever. Because I know that when people have tried to do something to me in the past, they have dropped dead. There was a man in my church years ago. His name was Gary Larrison. And his wife is still alive and still in our church. We just paid for an operation for her. But he came up to me one day quivering. And I said, "What's the matter?" And he had a pouch in his hand. He says, "Please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me." And I says, "What for?" He said, "Because," and he was a hitman before. He says, "I was in this church, I was going to kill you, and the Lord told me that he's going to kill me, that he told me I've got cancer." And he didn't even go to a doctor to find it out. He knew that he had cancer. And he said, "Here's the gun." It was a .357 Magnum, and there was a lot of bullets in there. And so he says, "The Lord showed me that to me this morning." So I didn't realize, you know, there's nobody has any guns in this church. And I said, "Well, you knew that you're not supposed to have guns here. And, of course, you know that you're not supposed to kill a prophet of the Lord." And I know, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. So I said, "Right." And he says, "Even if you forgive me, the Lord's still going to take my life for even thinking such a thing as that." So I took the gun, and I had them throw the gun in a lake. It was up on the ridge, and it was the very deep lake, and that's where I suppose it is to this day. And sure enough, about 6 months later in Los Angeles, he went to a doctor, and they said he has cancer and that he doesn't have long to live. So they put him in the hospital, and the nurse said he jumped out of bed and started running across the room. He said, "I see the death angel," and all of a sudden he just dropped dead right there on the floor. And so we brought him back. We had him embalmed in Los Angeles and had him brought back to Dyer, Arkansas, where we had built a big church, and the government took it away from us. They stole it. They say that they confiscate things, but we just call it downright thievery. Amen?
Amen.
The government is a thief, just like the devil. They're liars and they're thieves. And their whole thing is about money and punishing people that are of the Lord. But don't you know, you people that are in government, that the same thing is going to happen to you? You've been plotting and hiring people to kill me down through the years, and it never happened yet. Because I don't think people, they've heard me talk about things like this many times. Vicki Larrison is still in the church, and she'll tell you the same thing that I'm telling you, that it actually happened. And she hasn't married since. That's been at least 24 years ago. That happened just after Susie, my late wife Susie, passed away from cancer. And some people think that they can rise up against God, but I have the Lord with me all the time, and so I'm safe. Amen?
Amen.
Anywhere with Jesus is this place of safety. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not afraid to go where the Lord tells me to go because I'm saved. I've got Jesus. And I take the time out to read about the Word of God, which is Jesus. And I take time out to pray without ceasing. And I look at these people that are just so gung-ho on the stock market and all these different business things that they're doing, which I used to be involved with. The Lord yanked me right out of that. He frightened me to the point to where I just wanted to do what He wanted me to do. And I never lost it. He put so much fear in my heart. They said, "Well, should you fear the Lord? That's what the Bible says." Okay, so if you're a daydreamer and doing one of the seven things that the Lord hates, well, then, of course, you don't understand that the things of God are foolishness to those that are unsaved, the carnal people, the people that know nothing. Because you're dead in your sins and trespasses, and the Lord says that the dead know nothing. You don't know anything. And so that the wisdom, true wisdom, is Jesus. He is the wisdom and power of God. And so they call it grace to masquerade. You know, they changed some of the things in the King James Version. The original says that power and truth came with Jesus, not grace and truth. Grace, I mean, that's like graceful or something, like a ballet dancer. But the Lord didn't come with gracefulness. He came with power and truth. And He said, by the power of God, or they say the grace of God, we can do anything. That means power, not ballet, toe dancing or something like that. The Lord is not a homosexual or an effeminate person. He's the most powerful person in the universe. He's the one that created everything by the Word of God. Yeah, He is the Word. God created everything with His Son, the Word of God. All things were made by Him, and they are for Him. And the Lord died for us. He paid the price for us, that if we accept Him, we can enter the kingdom of heaven. And so, therefore, we've been bought with the most precious commodity on the face of this earth or in the kingdom of heaven. God Himself came into this world as a man and died for us and shed His precious blood on the cross so that our former sins can be washed away. He didn't save us so that we can go and sin some more. He says, "He that sinneth is of the devil." Now, if we commit a sin that's not unto death, Well, we can. We have him as an advocate that can go up if we do it in ignorance. But if you know what you're doing, that's not ignorance. And all you're doing is not, you're not hurting anybody else but yourself when you sin. All you're doing is pounding nails into your coffin and sealing yourself into the pit of hell in the lake of fire when you sin. And you can look, read the Bible throughout. I'm talking about the King James Version or the original text, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. And I'm telling you that you will then know that what I'm telling you is absolutely the truth. I would hate to be so low and such a scoundrel to be in this world and lead people astray into hell like these false preachers are today. They don't care. They want you to talk about, that how you can better your life, more abundantly in different areas that the Lord is not interested in now. The Lord is interested in us humbling ourselves before Him and receiving His instruction. Not how to get along better with our husband. If you just do what the Lord says, your husband is going to get along with you really well, and so will your wife. But if she isn't of the Lord, and he isn't of the Lord, they're not going to get along with you anyway. So the best thing to do is just keep the Lord's commandments and let happen what will happen. Because it isn't going to help you to be any other way. Because you'll spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Well, God is not that strict. Yes, he's even more strict than I'm telling you. You say, well, that was the Old Testament. No, the New Testament tells more about hell, fire, brimstone. Tells more about the Lord magnifying the law and magnifying his word. The Bible says that the Lord magnifies his word over his name. He thinks more of his word, the word of God, the Bible, than he does his name. And so many people put emphasis on, should we call him Yahweh or Yahweh or Jesus or Yahshua or, all the different names that they have for God or the Messiah. And the main thing is the word, to learn the word and keep it because it's your very life. Your life more abundant here. And don't be concerned. Anyone putting father, mother, sister, brother, as I said, husband, wife, anyone or anything on this earth above your son or daughter, especially when the sons and daughters are, you have to show a rigid, it's love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. So you have to show your children that you don't approve of their lifestyle and that you don't want anything to do with them if they're not doing what the Bible says. It's like the prodigal son. The child, the youngest of the two brothers, decided that he wanted to go out into the world. And so he says to his father, give me my inheritance now. And so he went out into the world and lived a riotous life with women that were whorish. He ran out of money. He sold the land that he had, and then he found he needed a job. So he went to one of these guys that had a bunch of pigs. The man gave him a job with the pigs, but he wouldn't... one of the versions says that he wouldn't even allow, that man wouldn't even allow him to eat the husks of the pigs. And so the prodigal son came, or this stupid son, the younger one, said, even the servants in my father's house have food enough and even much left over. And here I am, living in here with the pigs. He says, I'm going to go back and tell my father that I've sinned before heaven and before him, and I'm going to ask him if I can just be one of his servants and see what he does. Well, in that particular case, the Lord let him come back because he was truly repentant. He realized what it was like out in the world and realized that it doesn't make any difference how much money you have or what position you have in life. Gerald Ford, former president, 93 years old, just passed away yesterday. And James Brown, the supposed to be king of soul. I used to make clothing for him, and I witnessed to him on many occasions. And he dropped dead at age 73, 20 years younger than Gerald Ford. So what good is it now, if no matter how much money they had, or what good is it, the Rockefellers or the Ginsbergs or the Wongs or any of these people? What's that fellow's name that made the microchip?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. What good is all your money when you die? And who is it going to be left to? Or any one of you people in the world that think you're laying up treasures on this earth. Don't you know that when you die, the money that you have is divided? You didn't spend one penny of it on the Lord to sponsor radio programs that are getting the gospel out and warning people of the wrath of God to come. The wrath of God is just about ready to hit this earth, and people are still laying away money just like they did during the days of Noah when God drowned the whole world. And people, they know these things, and they know that there's a big fire coming. I notice that even the unsaved people on television are saying, the end of time is at hand. They know that. It's just all over the place. They can see all the signs. The Lord made the signs so plain that even unsaved people can see that if the Bible's true, and it is, then we're at the end of time. And so people are worried, they're busy, they're distracted by many things. Satan has millions, hundreds of millions of distractions out there for you. I see people getting involved with oyster shells, grinding them up and making some kind of vitamins out of them and things like that. What? How could you be involved in that when you could be in your father's house and eat better than anybody out in the world? Amen?
Amen.
Rockefeller couldn't even eat anything that other than mother's milk. They used to have women come in that were breastfeeding their children, and they'd take breast pumps and pump bottles full of milk, and that's all. And then he'd have a laboratory to test the milk to see if it was clean and everything, and that's all he could eat. So what good was all of his money? And what good is it if you don't keep the commandments of the Lord, you can't be healed? And it's for sure there's no healing or there's no exit door in hell or the lake of fire. Once you're in there, you're in there. So be careful. Be careful and start doing what the Lord wants you to do. You could sponsor radio programs all over the world. You could sponsor the these pieces of literature that the Lord God himself has given unto me. And we're not talking about any nonsensical things. We're talking about the Lord has called me to herald in the news that the Lord is coming back to earth again. He's coming back very soon. And before that, this earth is going to be a nightmare. He's going to make it a nightmare. Ask the people at New Orleans in Indonesia. This is just the beginning of sorrows. These wars and rumors of wars. Which one of these nations overseas is going to drop the atomic bomb? And what city will it hit? If you're storing up finances and not, this means that you're not giving anything to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not a phony gospel that you hear many of these people preaching on TV, but this gospel, the real truth. If you're just laying up and not spending anything on the Lord, then you're robbing God. You know, I'd rather rob anybody but God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so think about that. If I were you, I would obey that rule. Read the book of Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. It's a small book. Read it and see. And then also read the first chapter of Proverbs, where the Lord says, if you don't pay any attention to my word, here I'm telling you that you're robbing me and you're not doing anything for me. Well, then he says, you're going to call out for me when the death angel comes for you, and I'm going to laugh and mock at you. There isn't anything that would that chills me more than to think of that the Lord has got me going into the pit of hell, the lake of fire, and then he's laughing about it and mocking me. Oh, please, God. And he goes back, oh, please, God, at you. You set all my word as though it were nothing. And now, oh, please, God. And then he laughed. You're right where you put yourself. Okay, so we have some testimonies here, so start reading some of them. I think I've eaten up plenty of my share of this program. Go ahead to this point anyway. There's more to come, people. More to come. Okay, go ahead.
The first one's from St. Louis, Missouri. A lady called from St. Louis who read Dry Bones in the Sunday St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper. She said it was beautiful, with a beautiful prayer at the end. She said she's going to post a copy of the article at her church if she requested a Messiah book and other literature and to be on our mailing list.
Now, you know, before I became a Christian, I thought that all Christian works get a lot of money. But I'm a friend of Stanley Rader. I don't know if he's still alive. He was the ambassador, the American ambassador to China. Well, he was in China. And he stated, and he also was the lawyer or the attorney for the Worldwide Church of God, which seemed to be a very big church because they were on television everywhere. And I told him, look, we're on television now for 10 years, and we don't get any tithes. We have to go out and work for the money to put the TV program on. He says, Tony, that's the way it is with every television program. There's no money. The people out in the world don't really give money to the TV programs. What happens is there's some rich people that believe the gospel, and the Worldwide Church of God, they have a magazine called The Plain Truth. And they would say, well, we'll sponsor the magazine because we like that. And then there's another rich person that says, I'll sponsor a television program for Los Angeles. And another one will rise up and say, give me one that only is $100 or $500 a day or whatever, and we'll pay for that once a week. And that's how it is. There's just not a lot of money that comes in. There's some of them that may send in $5 or $10, but we earn the money so far that we've put out in the gospel field. Every so often, somebody will send in $5, $10, $20, $100, sometimes $300, and once in a while, somebody will even send in $500, but that's far and few between. And so this is the way it is. Don't be saying that people are in it for the money. I have a Beatles album that's worth, I've been told, $100 million. It's never been released. But the Lord told me not to put it out, and that's why I don't. The Lord's testing you to see if you're going to pick up and do as some of these people that sponsor the television program or the radio program, or like this woman, she read my literature in the St. Louis, what's the name of it?
Post-Dispatch.
And she really loved it, and she's out witnessing and testifying with the piece of literature that I put in there. We've been in that paper for 3 weeks. One day alone, we spent $250,000, and that didn't come from outside tithes and offerings. And so, you know, everybody thinks that even these little missions, like the Midnight Mission in downtown Los Angeles, or Sister Jerry's Mission, or Kenny Feldman and his wife, Billy, they passed away now, but they didn't get any big money. And anyone that gets help from the government, we don't get any help from the government at all. As a matter of fact, they've stolen all of our properties years ago. Now we have, I've told everybody, don't make put property in the church's name. Just put it in your name and let it be used by the Lord. And so, because they'll steal it. The government is, the Catholic, the Vatican government will steal any church's property. So you have to learn to walk in wisdom. I learned that the hard way. Okay, now, do you have another one now?
Yes, from Chicago. A pastor from Chicago called. He said that the Dry Bones literature was a real blessing. He wants more copies to distribute to his congregation and his outreach.
And that one we ran in the Chicago Tribune.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, and then what?
He also wants a Messiah book and other literature. He said he will be listening to your radio broadcast in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And you can, we'll send you a copy, everyone that requests literature. We send a copy of the times that we're that I'm on radio. Okay, so, and then you can get the CDs or the tape copy, audio copy of the program. Then what?
A man called from Staten Island, New York. He read your literature, Brace Yourselves, in the New York Daily News. He said it is fabulous, and he wants the Messiah book written by you.
That article runs about $50,000 in that paper. And here we're footing it. There's a whole lot of people in this world that are robbing God. And they say it's fabulous and people are getting saved from it. And you don't care, okay? Well, then it's the same thing as the Lord inviting you to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you've got something else to do with your money. You know, like happy time, happy hour at the bar. Or going to Vegas and dropping $50,000 to $100,000 a day or more. I've watched some of these Japanese guys. I thought it was Mr. Toyota or somebody that was playing baccarat over at the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas. And I was there because of all the casinos there were carrying my jackets. I have these rhinestone jackets that I used to manufacture and still could. I just did. Another one for Don King, who was the Grand Marshal at the 4th of July parade in St. Louis, Missouri. And he called up and wanted me to send him another one of the USA jackets that you see him wearing all the time. But that's what I was doing in Las Vegas. And this man, these people were dropping $1 million about every 10 minutes. And if you ask them for, you know, something for the Lord, they give you $5 or maybe nothing because they worship a god that is not a god, Buddha. Okay, so, oh my God, you're not supposed to say that, Tony. Yes, I am. The Lord tells me to make a division, a separation between what is truth and what is fallacy. Well, anyway, these guys could have financed us to where we could evangelize the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
So any of you out there that are billionaires, give us a, you know, you got maybe $10 or $20 billion. Give the Lord something. Amen?
Amen.
10%. You got $10 billion, give us a billion, and I'll show you how this world will get evangelized really fast. And if you only got whatever you've got, give at least 10% to the Lord over this way, and you'll see that people really believe the truth, not this watered-down, sugary type of false garbage that you hear all the time. Then what?
A woman from Little Rock, Arkansas, called to say that she heard of Tony Alamo for a long time. She always considered him to be a cult leader, but after she read the huge article entitled Brace Yourselves in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette newspaper, she wants to know more about him. She said she used to walk close to God, but now she wants a closer walk with God. She said her heart had been so filled with bitterness, and so far it has never been the Baptist or Methodist or the Church of Christ denominations that have been of any help. But now she sees that Tony Alamo's ministries have what she's looking for. She wants to come both to the Falk Church service and make a trip to the Fort Smith Church services as well, and she wants all the information that we can send to her.
Right. You know, the Cult Awareness Network, along with the ungodly, satanic media, have painted any true Christian as, like, evil. And we can be preaching directly out of the Bible. There are people that are forcing people to be married. This is wrong. They say, there's a guy on TV on the news that said that they say that he is forcing young girls to be married to different older men in his church. And of course, he's with the Latter-day Saints, and they believe that it's all right to marry, as the Bible says, where a woman becomes to the age where she is menstruating, that this is the age that the Bible says it's right to marry. But and then also the dictionary says the same thing. Read the Webster's Dictionary. And so these are things, but people are so offended at the Word of God, the Bible. Like it talks about Rebecca being 11 years old, married Isaac. He was around 37 years old, the Bible says. The lost books of the Bible. And she brought forth Esau and Jacob. And from Jacob, he became Israel. And he brought forth all the heads of the tribes of Israel. And, oh, man, God, the Word of God is filthy, right? And you're clean, right? You pompous gutter snipe that would think that you're more holy than God. And then it talks about Mary being betrothed, in other words, married to Joseph, who was a elderly man that could support her when she was only 11, maybe even 10, some of the scholars that have studied these things. Now, my literature is like all over the place. Don't you think that Mary and Joseph have written literature? And Adam and Eve, we have the book of Adam and Eve here. These things were left out of the Bible because only one man chose the books that are going to be in the Bible. Well, we're not going to receive that. The Bible says anyone that adds anything to the Bible or takes away, well, these people have taken away many books from the Bible. And so they're the ones that are condemned. If I'm telling you of the lost books of the Bible, the words, the different books of Clement, First Clement and Second Clement and other books, I'm telling you that these books were left out of the Bible, then you're missing a lot. And they didn't go down to City Hall either to get a marriage license. They didn't have to ask the devil to get married. Let's begin reading from the book. Where are you going to be reading from?
Proverbs.
Just that one part, okay, in Proverbs.
Chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. 17. A proud look, a lying tongue.
Okay, these are proud-looking eyes. Eyes that look proudly at God's word. They don't, they're just bored with it, really. And then what?
And hands that shed innocent
blood.
Wait,
the first one is what?
A proud look.
Yeah, then what?
A lying tongue.
Yes, God hates a liar. You know why? Because Satan is the liar and the father, a liar and the father of all liars. So anybody that lies, their God is the devil. Yes, if you're a liar, then your God is the devil because God hates liars. Okay, then what?
And hands that shed innocent blood.
Okay, what would that be? Hands that shed innocent blood. There's 40 million babies that are aborted. I forget how many every year. I think it's somewhere like that. And the Lord, what they're saying is there's not enough food, not enough water. This is a lie that's been put out by the government, the Vatican, and the Vatican is one world government, because they plow in billions of tons of all kinds of food, and they say that it's not right to marry. The Bible says that this is doctrines of devil that are preventing the young women to marry older men, because the older men have jobs and they're able to support their wives and children. But young men, they haven't matured to the point to where they should get married. Now, Isaac was around 37 years old when he got married to 11-year-old Rebecca. And Joseph, Mary's husband, was way up in years. He was elderly. And the Bible, the lost books of the Bible, states that he was chosen because of a rod that bloomed, just like Aaron's rod bloomed, to one of the elders, and that was his. And he was ashamed to be married to such a young girl. But that is a custom in the Middle East, and of course the people in the United States don't understand the Bible because they're not Middle Easterners, they're not Jews. And the Jews, we Jews, wrote the Bible. And you people should get accustom yourself to the customs of the Hebrews and the original way that it was. Now the Jews have succumbed, have thrown in the towel to the Vatican, and so they're beginning to agree with it. But even to this day, it's all right in Israel to be married to four women. And the Bible says that in the last days, seven women will want to move in with a man that's godly. Doesn't mean they're going to have sex or anything, but they want to move in to the house with a godly man because they know that God is with him. Okay, so keep reading here what the Lord hates. So anyone that says that this isn't so is a liar, and you're worshiping Satan because, again, the Bible says that this is a doctrine of devils forbidding women that have reached maturity. They are forbidding them to marry. They're making them wait until they're 18, and most of them are out having sex with everybody. And they're causing the people, the women in this world, to commit fornication. And then the young men that they're committing fornication with can't afford the baby, so they send them off to the abortion parlor. So they've committed two cardinal sins. One, fornication, and another one is shedding innocent blood, first-degree murder. There's nothing more innocent than an unborn child. And then what?
Verse 18, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations.
Okay, so don't imagine that the Bible is wrong because it's the only right thing in the entire world. Well, I see my time is up. And so those of you that want to get on the right path so that you can enter the kingdom of heaven, the reason that you probably are haughty and high-minded is because of the fact that you don't read the Bible to know how horrible hell is in the lake of fire. But it's a place of torments, and it never ends. If you can't hardly stand a headache, there's no medicine in hell. There's no pain reliever there. And just when you think it gets it's the worst, it's going to get a lot worse. So right now, those of you that don't know the Lord and you'd like to know him and you'd like to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in this wicked world and have peace, just like this Jack Holcomb says, you can be anywhere with Jesus and you're safe. Do you want that in this wicked world? So then say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the doors of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling upon you, Lord, and I'm trusting your word, and your word that says all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how I know you're hearing me, and I know you answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. and keep doing that and pick up the Bible and start reading it, and I guarantee you, you're going to feel great. And you're going to be, no matter where you go, as long as Jesus is with you, you'll be able to hear you, and he'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. All right, Sharon, tell them four different ways how to receive a copy of this, a Bible, if they need it and they can't afford it, and also a Messiah book.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow because the Lord has always got something to say to you, and it's for sure on this program you're going to hear it. And it's doubtful anywhere else, all right? We are the work that the Lord has called supernaturally in these last days. Now, here's Jack Holcomb to implore you to tell it to Jesus, all right?
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell Turn.